This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to another episode of She Builds Charrettes.
Yeah. As a reminder, in these charrettes, we talk more about certain topics, make major announcements, and conduct interviews. Basically, She Builds Charrettes is our playground for things outside of our typical format.
Right. So no need to worry, we're still doing our regular show.
On today's charrette, I will be sharing with y'all a story that is extremely close to my heart. I'm going to talk about the AIA Women in Architecture Houston Chapter exhibit at the ARC Center in 2014. The story of how it came about and why, what it entailed, and all the amazing outcomes.
Fun! We love an origin story.
Ooh, yeah, so fun. I can't wait to learn about it.
Yeah! Okay, so the reason I'm doing this is because, actually, the Texas Architects Conference, also known as TXA, it's occurring again this year in Houston from October 3rd to the 5th for the first time in a decade, because the last time was 2014.
Woo! Yeah.
The AIA Houston Women in Architecture Group, or WIA, are having the exhibit again, this time at the conference. And as soon as I learned that this was happening, I was like, oh yeah, I'm joining that committee. Like a committee about women timeline architects, I'm in.
Yeah, you are.
You know me. So I'm on the first planning call, and I could have a whole separate charrette about the ladies on this call, honestly. All these caryatids in one Zoom, introducing themselves, sharing who they are, what they do, their ideas for the future exhibit. And then they start talking about the original exhibit that occurred in 2014. And as I'm hearing this story, I was like, OMG, this is so great. I want to share this with the world. And then other ladies mentioned that it would be great to have a podcast episode in support of the exhibit. And I was like, yes, excellent idea.
I'm loving this already.
Future caryatids alert.
That's right. So here we are. This episode is part of a WIA exhibit at TXA series. In support of the upcoming exhibit today, we will talk about the 2014 exhibit, and on a future Charette in a few weeks, we will talk about the new exhibit. What can people expect when they go see the new exhibit? And if you're an architect in Texas and haven't purchased tickets to the conference yet, this is your reminder to do that today.
Yes, get your tickets. Your girls will be at the TXA conference this year, so buy a ticket and come say hi to us.
Yeah.
And see the exhibit.
Yeah. We are so excited to meet up again and to be in Space City, aka Nerdrew's Stomp Grounds of Houston.
That's right.
Listeners, stay tuned to the Charette series. This will be a great lead up to the conference.
Yeah, and the conference is such a great place to connect with other professionals passionate about their careers, get your CEUs, attend mixers, catch a great exhibition, of course, and also see your girls, Jessica, Lizzie, and Norgerie, discuss architectural her story.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Not only are we attending TXA, but we're presenting at one of the sessions. So make sure to sign up for Architectural Herstory on Saturday, October 5th at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, catch us live Saturday morning. Bring us coffee. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I haven't seen Lizzie awake at 8:30 in probably a decade.
Yeah.
At conference.
Oh, that's true. I did see her at conference. Never mind, I lied.
The national conference.
But was I awake?
It doesn't happen often, people.
Yeah.
That's the cute part. Were you awake?
You should feel honored.
I do. I definitely do. All right. If you're a frequent listener of this podcast, you know that I like to start a story at the beginning. If you're not, hi, I'm Nardiri Rivas, and I like to start stories at the beginning. That means I want to start at the inception of the idea for the 2014 exhibit. The time was 2010. The place, Houston, Texas. The person was Sharon Chapman. Sharon was working on her thesis titled Dreams, History of Women in Architecture, Past, Present, and Future at the University of Houston. She was inspired by a study in the 70s at Woodbury University in Los Angeles named Where Are the Women Artists? She started wondering, where are the women architects? Sharon learned licensed women made up only about 13% of licensed architects. And she asked herself why. This started an exploration for her of, we have more women entering school than ever before. Many women are graduating, but not getting licensed. Why is this? So she learned that it's due to issues that we are still too familiar with. Lack of equal pay, overwork, not being supported with the life choices that we make when we want to start having children, dot, dot, dot.
Such common issues that we hear about still today, right?
Yeah. It's actually really interesting and eye-opening to think about. And when you look at those numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me that this conversation, like we're saying, is still happening today. We actually met with a group from Gensler leading a conversation on this right now, starting a study and how we may hopefully bring this on a future Charette to our show. So stay tuned.
Future episode alert.
That will be a very interesting conversation.
So Sharon was academically approaching this subject and presenting her findings.
Ooh, I wonder what she saw.
Oh, yeah. One of Sharon's thesis advisors was Donna Kackmark. Donna encouraged Sharon to turn all her findings into an exhibit. The information had to go beyond the thesis. It needed to be exposed to the world.
Donna knows what's up.
Yeah. Expose, learn, share, show the people.
And then Sharon, I like to think that she was kind of like me in the sense that she had this idea. Donna's pushing her. But she realized that she didn't want to take it on alone. It was a big undertaking. So she reached out to her tribe. I like to think that the conversation went something like this. Ladies, there's this great idea. Then she proceeded to explain the idea. And then she said, We can impact the industry. There's so much to unpack. Let's do this together. And then her tribe said, heck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Doesn't it? It wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't like that, but in my head it was. Yep. She actually was a studio professor, so she was able to reach out to her colleagues and students alike, which I think is so cool. She hosted coffee meetings. It was really grassroots. And then all this research started becoming a timeline. The group realized they wanted to present the information in a timeline fashion. And it evolved from all these different stories, the data that was involved in Sharon's thesis. It was more of digging deeper into the professionals. Who are the ladies? Go back in history, like even further, to uncover data and stories of pioneers and highlighting early work.
This sounds so exciting.
Yeah, totally relate to this, as you can imagine. I love that they wanted to focus on the early ladies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Same. You know, I like that. As this started to progress, they were all like, OMG, what did we get ourselves into? Kind of like us. I mean, I think I kind of love these people because they keep reminding me of us. But anyway, I mean, when we started podcasting, it didn't dawn on me at all it would entail, the effort. I'm sure you guys felt the same way.
Yeah, for sure. Suddenly you're like, did we bite off more than we could chew? Or like, what's going on?
Yeah, I guess some aspects I didn't expect it to grow as much as it did, but I kind of knew.
Well, okay.
Well, but that's why it's so great that we are a group. Just like Sharon and her group, because you're able to develop a team and ask for help, and then everyone can chip in.
That's true. Good point. So, like all great things, the more they got into it and the more effort it took, the more they realized how important the work that they were doing was.
Amen.
Yeah, for sure.
So, as they were putting together the timeline, furthering the research, they were realizing, oh my goodness, there is so much we don't discuss. There are so many ladies and their work being swept under the rug, being attributed to others. This is eye-opening and maddening. We have to share this in a compelling way. This information needs to be known by all.
Yep. I mean, that's something that we've figured out doing this podcast as well, right? I didn't know if you were talking about them or us when you were reading that at first. Like, I'm talking for a second, I was like, yeah.
That's what I'm telling you, the parallels.
I know.
They are us just like years ahead.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or years before. But this is so great. As maddening as it is /was, the important thing is that change is happening because of it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what keeps us motivated, is that we're telling these stories. So I'm just glad that they did it.
For sure.
Yeah. So 4 years in the making, the exhibition inaugurated at the Houston Arc Center in 2014. Coincidentally, TXA was happening in Houston that year. So WEA was able to host a reception at the Arc Center to coincide with the conference and present the exhibition to architects from all over the state.
Yay! Congrats to them for finally making it happen.
Yeah!
The fruition of this work is what dreams are made of, at least mine. It resulted in an 88-foot-long, 4-feet-high timeline spanning from 1905 to 2010, made up of three-dimensional 4x4 pixels that shared information and history on so many different women architects and their projects, pretty much highlighting notable women and their work in the built environment. Buildings, interior design, furniture, it was very broad.
That sounds great.
Amazing.
From an experience standpoint, I love how they designed and constructed the timeline as a series of pixels with depth, because it makes it more dynamic and engaging than a static timeline. And imagine seeing this over 80-foot-long piece of different moments and wanting to go review them all. Man, I'd love for us to do something like this in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really engaging to view the exhibit. Are there photos of it that we get to see?
Yeah, I would love to see those photos. It sounds like such an impressive structure.
Oh, yeah. I have photos. Head over to the show notes. We have photos this time. Go check them out. It's amazing. I really hope that Sheeple's podcast can do something similar to this one day because I think it's so amazing. If nothing else, selfishly, I want us to do it because I just want to see it. I almost never get FOMO, and I don't know if this actually counts, but I'm so jealous that I did not arrive to Houston in time to see this. I actually got here in the winter of 2015, and I didn't know about barely anything or anyone here. So even if it was still here at that time, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the bulk of the timeline was made up of architects and their projects and important events throughout the history of architecture pertaining to women. But another part of the timeline were the quotes. They made sure to include the voices of the women they were highlighting themselves to serve as inspiration to those who were lucky enough to see this in person.
That is so great.
Mm, we love a quote, honey.
We sure do. Since we love quotes, let me hit you with this one. This one's one of my favorites. They included one quote from Beverly Willis accepting the 2014 AIA Award Medal on behalf of Julia Morgan, who had passed away many, many years ago. And this one really stuck with me. So Beverly said, "On behalf of women architects, I express our collective and respectful anger. Historically, important women designers are still not in the history books. But at this moment, on this day, in the history of the AIA, I express our collective joy."
Ugh. Two incredible ladies in one sentence. First season, Julia Morgan, and then we have Beverly Willis, founder of the pioneering website and podcast, The New Angled Voice. So an incredible resource that we mention all the time. And this respectful anger, quote unquote, it's funny to me. I'm like angry when I think about it. I don't know if it's respectful, but but I can definitely agree with the collective feeling of it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just like that she acknowledged the fact that it's so upsetting and angering, right? That women are not in the history books.
Yeah, this has to be my favorite backhanded compliment of all time. It is like expresses how I feel in the best way ever.
Yeah.
They also had really nice graphics showing statistics regarding the growth of women membership to the AIA. It was a compelling way to see the growth of women members over time.
I've seen those numbers. Growth of AIA membership is a good indicator to measure just general growth of licensure because they kept good records of this. However, knowing what we know now of how and when women were denied membership, it's interesting to think about, and I'd be interested in seeing those statistics.
Oh, yeah. This has taken a whole new meaning for me, especially this season, the stories we've researched, learning the hoops women had to jump less than a century ago to be admitted into the AIA, the hostility they faced when taking the AREs. The serious lengths people took to keep them out of these spaces are incredible.
And yet they still persevered and here we are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's very inspiring and impressive, their perseverance.
It is. I do think we've made progress on this front. At least from my experience, I faced zero adversity when signing up for the AREs and the AIA. It was more like, heck yeah, come on in, take the test, give me your monies. But
yeah,
that's also my experience. Like, that doesn't mean others out there are not facing difficulties that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I think from a logistical standpoint, you are correct.
For sure.
I hardly ever hear stories of women being like, I walked into a test center and they told me no. It's more of like a support thing that still exists today, like having that like financial, familial work supporting you along the way. Progress for sure has happened, but there's still work to be done.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we're making progress in some areas, but there's still areas that we see that, you know, things aren't quite up to par yet. A nice way of putting it.
That's a very nice way of putting it. This is a PG-rated show.
Timid.
Respectful anger.
Respectful anger.
All right, so back to the exhibit. They not only included graphics, data, quotes. Y'all, they made models. Yes, I said that. Models of certain projects. Ooh. Like a Gene Gang high-rise. If you know, you know. The scales of the models were varied.
Ooh.
There were a few. And I'm just so, so impressed that they made models. I think it's so creative. And it adds to the richness of the experience of viewing the timeline. And not only that, they partnered with furniture vendors who loaned them pieces, such as a chair and a lamp, by episode 15 lady Eileen Gray.
What?
Mm. That's awesome. This exhibition just took a whole new dimension. I love that it became more than just about architecture and that local vendors became involved. It's great.
Oh, and I have to mention that since they were presenting all of this in Houston, they had this zoomed out scale of architecture history, but then they also included a zoomed in scale of components. For example, the timeline was also accompanied by data stating all of the Texan female fellows and Texan Young Architect Award winners.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
They also had monitors displaying interviews of Texan women architects who own their own practice, discussing their careers, their beginnings as a firm owner, and their thoughts on the future of the profession.
I love this. The zoom out is important, but zooming in at the local level is just as important. It makes it more relatable to those that are able to see the exhibit and to show that this is still happening now, just alongside their neighbors.
Totally. And I think kind of interspersing that between the zoomed out and the zoomed in is really nice too, because I feel like that keeps people intrigued to be like, oh, that's like where we are now. And these people I relate to or might know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome of the exhibit was beyond what anyone imagined when they first started making it a reality. First of all, it brought so many people together. Professionals and students of architecture joined forces to make this happen. Check out our show notes for a list of people involved. As I learn more, I'll update the list. So if you know someone, if you go to the show notes and you don't see a name, send us an email. I will add them. But just to name a few names, Kisa Foggy was one of the curators of the timeline. Melvaline McLemore, today the president of the AIA Houston 2024. She was part of the research team. Andrea Gonzalez was part of the team composing the video interviews. And Denise Alvarez was project managing the whole endeavor, making sure everyone stayed on track. In the end, more than 24 people came together to make this a reality. Everyone volunteered their time, expertise, passion. The exhibition showed the importance of collaboration across disciplines, stages in one's careers, roles, all the things. Everyone just focused on this important goal of women telling their own story, highlighting their history and work.
This is great.
Yes, I love that it was interdisciplinary.
Then it was so successful and well-received that they had the opportunity to make it a traveling exhibition across various locations in the United States.
Oh, beautiful.
One of my favorite results was that many cities where the exhibition was taken, when people saw it, they felt so energized by the work, what great impact a group of women could do, that it either began or revitalized women in architecture committees in cities throughout the state of Texas.
Mm. And that's why we do what we do. It's to inspire others. A springboard, if you will. This is so great.
Yeah, it's amazing that it has sparked so many other committees in various places. I love that.
Yeah, you know, one of those cities was Houston itself. This started the AIA Houston Women in Architecture Group, aka WIA. And it is still going strong to this day. And it has evolved to do so, so, so much. These ladies every year put together the Equity Series, which for the past few years has been led by Akansha Sharma, an incredibly passionate designer. Last year, it was focused on just design. I went to one about work-life balance a few years ago. And you know what? Actually, 2 years ago, the 2025 AIA president, Evelyn Lee, was part of the panel discussion of Redefine, which was centered around women in leadership. There's always a panel discussion and a workshop related to the equity series. It's just really great. So if you live in Houston, you should be on the lookout for this. It happens every spring.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, that's so great that they've worked up to being such a strong organization.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't even scratched the surface. WEA also does speed mentoring for ladies at any stage of their career to network and possibly connect with new mentors. I'm actually participating as a mentor this year on September 5th from 5:30 to 7:30. Shameless plug. And they also do the Navigating the Ropes panel geared towards emerging professionals. And anyone can sign up to any of these events through the WEA Houston page. Oh, and super exciting. WEA this year, they started a scholarship.
This sounds lovely.
The scholarship is to support any woman in their licensing journey, which is a mission very dear and close to my heart. We've spoken before how taxing getting licensed is on architects, but also the importance of perseverance and following through if that's a goal that you have.
Yeah, I love this. Licensing is so tough, and a lot of women don't end up finishing that journey for many reasons. So I'm glad that they're focusing on taking away one of those pain points.
Yes.
To find out more about the scholarship and how to apply, check out the AIA Houston Women in Architecture website. Actually, you know what? We can include a link to that on our show notes, so you can find it there too.
Yes. And this, of course, is local to Houstonians, yes?
Yes, I believe so.
But listeners, also check out your local AIA WEA chapters. They might have scholarships too. I know AIA Miami's WEA chapter has a scholarship similar to this one.
Oh, good to know.
Speaking of licensing, I had the opportunity to survey a few of the women involved in the exhibit, and many of them mentioned one of the most important outcomes of the exhibit for them was an inspiration to get licensed. Many of them were interns when they got involved in the exhibit, and the exhibit opened their eyes to the disparity of the profession and the importance for them to move the needle in the right direction. One of them realized for the first time in her life that she had never met another Black woman architect. And that embarked her on a life-shaping journey of seeking mentors that looked like her and then also becoming a mentor to others.
That's really beautiful to see the journey of the participant who was an intern to now. And that's what it's all about, moving the needle.
It really is. Many of the ladies that started the exhibit as interns today are licensed architects in leadership roles at their firms and volunteering endeavors. To me, that really is the most inspiring thing that came out of this whole endeavor. Mm.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that it not only inspired them, but that they were able to make those new dreams a reality.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, the exhibit met its end when it literally drowned. The space that it was in was flooded.
What?
Oh, gosh.
What remains today are pictures, memories, and a legacy that continues to impact and shape careers a decade later.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so sad.
Isn't it?
Awful.
Well, this year in June, we were able to organize a happy hour in which ladies involved in the original and the future exhibit came together to meet and also for me to gather more information for these episodes. We did a survey asking people to describe their involvement with the exhibit and the impact they felt the exhibit had. The answers that they provided are so powerful. If we're able to get their permission to post their responses on our show notes, I'm going to do it because, like I said, it is really powerful to read their different perspectives and responses because they lived it.
Mm. Yeah.
Fortunately, there's documentation of this and that the lady still are living today to share their experiences. So thank goodness for that.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's being documented now, too, so that we can learn about such an amazing exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were also able to record with a few of the ladies telling their stories of the exhibit. which at first I just was going to use it as a research tool. But after the conversation we had, I realized it needed to be an episode. So our next installment of this series will be pieces of that conversation. And we will have a third and final episode sharing information about the new exhibit, which will be presented at the 2024 TXA conference in Houston.
Ooh, listeners, stay tuned for the next few charrettes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before we end the charrette, I need to say thank you to everyone that made this possible today, that shared this story with me and their perspectives, that volunteered their time and efforts again and again. I wish I could name every single one of you. You made such a difference. I will do my best to list you on the show notes. I just want to say a very special thank you today to the lady who started it all, Sharon Chapman.
Yeah, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon.
If you're in Texas, inspired by today's charrette, and interested in learning how you can get involved with the new exhibit, check out our show notes for contact information. Which brings me to shout out Women in Architecture Houston's chair, Tess Wright, and we at TXA committee chair, Ingrid Chairs. These two ladies have been spearheading the effort fearlessly, along with a group of amazing volunteers.
Yeah. Shout out to the work that y'all are doing. Oh, I can't wait for the conference to see the exhibit in person. Local listeners, be sure to check out the exhibition if you are attending the conference this October from the 3rd through the 5th.
Yes. And we'll see you all at the conference and come check out this new exhibit.
Yeah.
Bonus content alert. After this episode was released, we received more information and would like to provide a few clarifications now before we reach the end of the episode. Let's start. I mispronounced two names, so I would like to say them correctly now. Donna Kachmar and Kiza Forgy, two women who were major contributors to the 2014 exhibit and who we had the pleasure of interviewing for the episode We at TXA Part 2. So make sure you listen to that. The name of the exhibit in 2014 was Women in Architecture, Houston. It was put on by the Architecture Center Houston at their previous location in Bayou Place 2. In 2014, AIA Houston chapter did not have a WIA committee. There was one years prior that was discontinued due to various reasons. The WIA Houston Committee was approved by the AIA Houston Board by 2016, and it began in 2017. Sharon Chapman's thesis, mentioned on the episode, was the genesis of the 2014 exhibit. In 2012, Donna and Sharon met with AIA Houston Executive Director Rusty Benvenue and Associate Director Matt Wolf, curator of the Architecture Center Houston, to discuss a Women in Architecture exhibit at Architecture Center Houston. After Architecture Center approved of the exhibit, a committee of volunteers, along with Matt and Rusty, set out to materialize the exhibit. The exhibit itself was constructed in about a year. The opening of the exhibit was purposefully set to be in the fall of 2014 to coincide with the TXA conference that was happening in Houston that year. Also, between 2013 and 2015, there were many women in leadership positions throughout the AIA and TXA, or I should say the Texas Society of Architects. To name a few, 2014, Helen Combs Drelling; 2015, Elizabeth Chu Richter. These were the AIA national presidents both those years. Val Glitch, 2014, Texas Society of Architects president, and Janice Brackett, 2014, AIA Houston president. As a part of the exhibition, Elizabeth, Val, and Janice were invited to be a part of a panel discussion of women in leadership. Also, Lisa Lampkin, who was the 2015 AIA Dallas president, was invited to this panel. This is so amazing. The Architecture Center Houston researched Houston Business Journal's top 25 architecture firms and contacted them for sponsorship and to conduct a study on how many women they had in their staff and in leadership positions. this information was presented as a part of the exhibit. It was done to shine a light on the realities of the time regarding women in architecture in the top Houston firms. All firms invited to the study were invited to the opening of the exhibition, where they were able to see the results of the study. All firms were invited to the closing of the exhibition, where some firms shared the data should be revised because more women were now in staff and in leadership positions, showing the rapid impact this exhibit had on the industry. You know, this was in the span of about 3.5 months. The exhibition opened on October 9th, 2014, and it closed January 16, 2015. Incredible. At some point of this episode, I mentioned how I had previously learned women had been denied entry into the AIA and the AREs, but I did not provide further context. These were specific instances in history. They had nothing to do with the exhibit. The AIA and the AREs are two separate entities. For clarity, I was alluding to Ida Anna Ryan and Ann Ting, two stories I had present on my mind. Ida Anna Ryan was denied entry to the AIA in 1907 by 9 votes. Gender was listed as a reason for her denial, despite the AIA already having women. Ida was also not allowed to be a part of the Boston Society of Architects due to her gender. The AIA admitted Ida in 1921. Ann Ting received hostility when taking the AREs in the 1940s. A proctor refused to give her the exam. Despite this, she became a licensed architect. So those were two stories I had in my mind at the time, and I just wanted to make that clarification. And last but not least, portions of the exhibit traveled to specific locations. One was Atlanta at the AIA National Conference in 2015. And then it was installed in a building in downtown Austin by the AIA Austin Women in Architecture Committee. It also made its way to Iowa. We believe that it was the Iowa State University that housed the exhibit for a portion of time. All right, now to the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Well, I really enjoyed this charrette. Hope all of you out there listening enjoyed it too. Please let us know what topics you would like us to have a charrette on, and you might hear a future episode based on your suggestion.
Before we say goodbye, we also want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links and further information on this charrette.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your colleagues, tell them all. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. And write us a review, please. This all helps us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website at shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us coffee at buymecoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com. Or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at She Builds Podcast and on X at She Builds Pod. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We had this year, they started a scholarship.
Oh,
I feel like I've been screaming this whole episode.
This sounds lovely.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.